Hello, everyone, and welcome to Knowledge is Power, your weekly recap of obscure and not-so-obscure news from the internets and beyond.
From Chicago, I'm Eric Munn.
And from New York, I'm Greg Rutter. So how are you doing this week, Eric?
I am great. How are you?
I'm doing well also. I hear we were talking about this briefly earlier. You're working on a new show?
Yes, two.
Can you talk about it, or is it?
I will plug two things right now, just to be the whore that I am. If you are in the Chicago area, my Second City group that I graduated with, we are performing a show at the Playground Theater, that's on Halsted and Belmont, and it's going to be May 1st at 8 o'clock. Come see it. It's called Avenue Geniuses. It's a really good show. And
where'd you get that? Where'd you get the name for?
Well, the homeless people here in Chicago try to sell these papers called Streetwise.
Oh, right.
And so we wanted to do something based off that, but we didn't want to get sued. Because I mean, imagine how horrible you would feel if you got sued by homeless people. So instead of calling ourselves Streetwise, we called ourselves Avenue Geniuses.
I like it.
Isn't that witty?
Anyways,
yep. Come check out our show.
I'm sorry, is it just sketch comedy?
Yeah, I mean, it's improv sketch. So there's no scripts, but the scenes are pretty much planned out already. So.
And when was it again?
It's May 1st, 8 p.m. at the Playground. Their website is the-playground.com.
All right, we'll add that
I am also in a musical called Hobos, which will be premiering at the end of May. I'm not sure on the exact dates yet. I just got the part. But as more comes in, I definitely will let you and our listeners know.
Apparently Chicago is obsessed with homeless people.
You know, I know the running joke, and I love it, even though it's pretty old and cheesy, but there really are no homeless people in Chicago. They're just all waiting for the bus.
I never heard that before.
Who let that 1920s banker into your house?
Oh.
You.
Nothing.
Sorry,
I had my parents in town this weekend, so I got to play tour guide all weekend, which was actually kind of fun because when you're in New York, you don't end up getting to do kind of the touristy things. I feel like Chicago is the same way.
Yeah, definitely.
So we rode the Staten Island Ferry and went to the South Street Seaport, and my parents are really into geocaching. I don't know if you heard of this.
What?
Yeah, it's so eccentric and nerdy, but awesome at the same time. it's this huge community online of like, you know, 500,000 people or something like that, and they kind of put these little like caches around all over the place.
Okay.
And I've looked at their website, and they're everywhere. They're in every city on Earth almost. And you're given GPS coordinates, and so you have to have like a GPS device, and you kind of walk around, and you're given clues, and so you have, you know, the GPS device is accurate within 20 feet, and so you kind of have this 20-foot radius to look for this thing in a public area, and it's, you know, well hidden, and inside is sort of like a log book and some trinkets and stuff like that.
Wow.
And it's fairly awesome. I'd never done it before, but it really gets you to look at these places that you kind of walk right past or wouldn't really notice before or stuff like that, and it really gets you to look at them.
It's a really good way to learn how to hide a weapon if you ever become
exactly murderer. Exactly. So. And it, you know, and it teaches you technology because you're walking around with GPS.
Wow. Well, that sounds crazy.
Real eccentric. Okay, let's get to our news stories. All right, you start us off. What do you got?
My first story occurred in Schenectady, which is out by you, I think. I don't know for sure. But a woman was accused of throwing acid at a wedding. And not like, you know, a little bit, you know, but enough to harm six people.
Six people.
And the firefighters' gloves were melting as they were. I mean, this is insane, and it's just.
I said this to you earlier, but your description of this on our blog is, here comes the bride, all dressed in. Which made me laugh so hard.
I think the quote from Marino, that's the last name of the person of one of the firefighters. His quote of, I jumped out of the rig and I didn't understand anything. Understand pain. Like, he's the deepest firefighter of all firefighters. Oh, wise Marino, thank you for your understanding. Of course, people with acid on their faces are going to be in pain.
They understand what's. They understand. They're like, oh my God, my face is burning.
But I wonder if it was even acid. I bet these people were all sinners.
Yeah, it was actually just. It was just holy water.
Yeah. That's kind of
Well, what's the explanation behind it? Do you know
that's the weirdest thing. All they have is that the woman allegedly was targeting another because she suffered the most. I'm not even going to attempt to read their names. They're very long and maybe one or two vowels in each. So, head to the article. But the woman who threw the acid was obviously trying to hit someone else because she suffered the most. But that's it. They have nothing else on this story. And I couldn't find a follow-up. So,
and
I don't know.
And the best thing is, police have not yet identified the acid. As though they're trying to round up suspects around town and like, come on, is it sulfuric? Give us the dirt.
Hydrochloric.
They're banging down hydrochloric acid's door, and hydrochloric's like, man, I'm going clean, I'm telling you.
I can see the lineup. There's this person with a six-figure face and six bottles, six vials. And they're like, which one is it?
I don't know. It's got the green, like, number three, but it's, like, the shape of number six.
God.
I assume it's some sort of, like, cultural thing.
Let's hope. I don't know. I mean, that's...
No. You know, like, here in America, we throw rice at a wedding, and in Antarctica, they throw acid, apparently.
They throw acid!
Congratulations.
Sign of respect. Burn away your previous life.
Burn away your old sorrows.
Wow.
It's your new... That's how happy I am. Wow. I liked it. 10 points.
10 points.
All right. My first story of the week is sort of media-related, as per usual, but it's the headline is from MSNBC.com. It says, a TV that forces you to watch ads, it's possible. Philips technology could let broadcasters freeze channel during commercials. And the gist of the story is that Philips has filed a patent for a new device that would not allow you to fast forward during ads on your if you're using a DVR or like a TiVo-like device.
Yeah.
But on top of that, it wouldn't even let you change the channel.
Maybe you can help me here, because I don't know much
about anything.
Anyways, wasn't the reason TiVo was invented?
Yeah.
Like, wasn't their big selling point you could fast forward past commercials?
I was talking about this with my parents, and they're like, oh, so if they want us to use that, like, I guess we won't use DVRs anymore.
I mean, exactly. Like, does TiVo and Comcast and whoever not realize that sales are just going to plummet?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the reason we record shows and so forth is so we can fast forward past the commercials.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you pay a subscription to have TiVo.
You're paying for the privilege to...
Yeah. Like, if I could understand if the TiVo box is all you pay for, if all you pay for is, the $300 box, then, yeah, you're going to have to watch ads. But you pay, like, a monthly service.
Yeah.
The reasoning behind the monthly service is so you don't have to see ads.
And do you have a DVR or a TiVo?
No, we don't. I would never leave the house.
Yeah,
I want one, but...
I don't have one either. But Andy used to have one. and a few other people.
Andy's a friend of ours from college.
Andy is a good friend of ours. You can hack it. You know, I guess hacking, I don't know if it's a hack or not. But you can change, like, you in the options screen, there's, you know, you can set it so that you can change how many seconds it fast forwards when you hit the fast forward button. And you can set it to 30 seconds. So you hit fast forward. You hit fast forward three times, and guess what? Commercial break totally skipped.
Yeah.
Philips has sort of entered into this shitstorm, and it was just a patent. I mean, they're not actively pursuing it by any means, or.
Well, yeah, and like they said in the article, they might offer.
It's a pending patent. And,
yeah, they might offer TVs with it and without. It's kind of like a you choose if you want it or not type thing.
But it's sort of, it's become this, like I said, it's become this shitstorm. Technorati picked it up, and then Engadget sort of picked it up, and it's really just blown up, and everyone is just kind of appalled by it.
Well, as they should be. I mean, I read an article, I would say a year ago, that was talking about TiVo was actually, it would still allow you to fast forward past commercials, but on the bottom, kind of like,
would
you know,
be
when
another
you open up
ad.
The website, it would say, like, buy Coke. You yeah. know? So it's just like, well, wait, this doesn't help it at all.
And I don't know about you, but I mean, knowing this and knowing that Philips wants this sort of technology out there, I'd be very hesitant to buy another Philips, you know,
anything.
Product. I mean, after that all that crap with the Sony rootkit a couple months back. I would not buy another Sony CD, like, even though they've sworn up and down that they've...
Well, with digital music, I don't even know the last time I bought a CD.
Yeah, ooh. sub point, but... but yeah, no, I mean, I don't... When I see Sony branded, I'm very hesitant, and I feel the same way about Philips now. So
yeah, definitely.
I mean, they've lost at least... You know, I've been thinking about buying a... like a, you know, a high end flat screen TV, as soon as I buy TiVo, but I, you know, I'm not gonna buy a Philips one now. I'll tell you that much.
Oh no, well, I mean, I'll rip on Philips. I don't care. The flat screen TV I bought my parents was a Philips, and that thing is so junky. And I don't get it. I mean, it's a flat screen TV. These things are supposed to be like awesome, and this thing is horrible.
Really?
Oh, dude. You know how when you hit the menu button and it's supposed to come up with a menu?
It comes up with a sentence.
It just stops coming up. It doesn't even come up anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
So, you know,
like, let's say you want to adjust the color.
Yeah.
Nothing comes up. No, nothing. I mean, you can adjust the color, but you have no guide telling you, you know, how many bars of color you're adding or anything.
See, and you know, you just got done spending $2,000-$3,000 on that, and it's this piece of shit. No, forget it. Philips, you've been X'd.
Philips. All right. Well, my next story, and I need to get your take on this because I don't know how I feel. Part of me is excited. Part of me is saddened. But professional video gaming is set for television debut.
Now you have to explain this a little more. Go read the story for me.
Okay. Well, professional video gaming set to debut on cable television later this year, potentially paving the way for kings and queens of game controllers to become as familiar to American households as Johnny Chan or Annie Duke in televised poker. And, you know, this is what I feel is going along. It's going to start appearing on ESPN2 and Spike TV, you know, people that play in these tournaments for Halo or... I don't even know what else. All they mentioned in here is Halo in the article and a few sports games. But, I mean, I don't know. To me, that doesn't show skill or prowess, you know? Is everything okay?
Yes, I dropped my head.
Acid! You dropped
acid. I dropped acid all over some firefighters.
Anyways, I just feel like, who the hell would want to watch this? You know, like... Who would want to watch two people play video games? I mean, playing video games on itself, you know, rather than going to play football or, you know, play pool, people play it on video games, so that's already taking you out of the element. Now, instead of you actually playing a video game, you're going to watch someone play a video game and go, wow, they're really good. I mean, the only reason I'm kind of semi-excited about this is I love video games, so maybe I'll end up on TV finally. But then it'll be kind of like the bane of my existence because they'll be like, I made it to TV. Oh, wait, as a nerd that plays Halo.
Yeah, for me, I didn't understand the whole the poker thing.
Well, I think they're saying that these non-sports items are now becoming, I mean, watching poker on TV is, I just think, really weird. I mean, you know, it's not really a sport, but it's taken off huge. I mean, this idea of a non-sport becoming a sport, and I think that's what they're saying with video games. It's not really a sport, but...
Are they just jumping on it because it's not a sport, but it is a sport?
I don't know. I don't think it's because of that. I think it's because the video game age is older now. You know, it's not little kids playing video games. We're the video game generation, you know, us 20-somethings, and that's who TV, marketing, so forth aim to. So I think if they'd realize that video gamers are all about, you know, our age now are going to be their prime thing, they're going to show video games. But I'm like you. I mean, doesn't this channel already exist? It's called G4. You know, like, what? And, you know, that's not that huge of a station. Now, I don't know for certain, though, because it is it was the number one podcasted show on iTunes. So that might, you know, show that video games and technology are doing pretty well.
But it's... The problem with it is that it's not compelling content. It's just filler content. Yeah. I don't see this as, you know, appealing to the masses or anything like that. It's just sort of like, crap, we need to fill, you know, the 8:30 time slot. What do we do? I don't know. These kids like video games, you know, show some video games.
Yeah.
It seemed boring, frankly.
Yeah. I mean, it's like watching someone play Monopoly.
Yeah.
You know, like, who cares, you know? They're good at it, sure, but, I mean, you know, I don't want to watch this. This is not fun for me.
Yeah, and, you know, they show, like, every year they show, like, the Madden tournament. On ESPN, they show, like, the Madden... all the football players playing Madden, and then, you know, eventually it wins the Super Bowl or something like that. I don't know. boring. It's not interesting. And, like, they only show, like, a few clips of it, and you're like, okay.
I mean, could you imagine watching a whole... All they do is show three clips of one highlight of their game. I mean, could you imagine watching someone play an entire game of Madden? It'd be so boring.
I can't imagine how they hope to make this engaging television. This is bad. 10 demerits.
10 demerits for video games.
Okay. Next story. 1-2. Miller Beer to be the first to use cold can technology. The beer can is in for a technology makeover that will shake up the beverage industry, as being brought to you by a company called Tempura Technology, which has ambitious plans for their cold can technology. The specially modified cans who use proprietary engineering to create a temperature that will reduce the icy can contents by a minimum of 30 degrees Fahrenheit in just 3 minutes.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
And then how long does it last?
That it doesn't say. But I imagine it, once it's at that temperature, I think it just drops it to that temperature. And so it's like instantly like, oh, it's been in the fridge for 2 hours.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's awesome. And I'm sure after more technology, you know, more testing, they might give it where it's like, oh, yeah, it never gets warm ever.
Yeah. And it's great because it's totally, you know, environmentally safe, and it's just like a gel that evaporates. It just uses evaporation. It's a real simple technology. If you look at the pictures online, it just looks like a, you know, like a 22 tall boy.
Yeah, that's all it looks like to me. Which is, I've held plenty of those, so
let me tell you, not that big. it doesn't seem totally but I like that the story, it says the average American drinks 22 gallons of beer annually.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's
feel like
so much. That's why my mom cried a lot.
Yeah, I feel like that's an inordinately a large amount. But
I don't even think that fish tanks could be that big. That's insane.
That's a lot. Okay, that's gross. What I mean, it's definitely going to be like kind of a novelty item for a lot. If you were to see this in a store, you'd be like, oh, you know, pimp, I'm going to pick this up, and show everyone and be like, oh, I'm the badass. But they want to sort of market towards, campers and backpackers, not backpackers, but, you know, fishermen and barbecuers where there isn't always, you know, a refrigerator or ice sitting around.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think this is a great, great recreational thing. I mean,
or for parties, you know,
family events. I mean, yeah, this is
going to
be huge.
It's a great way to, you know, to use technology for like a good use.
Definitely.
to get people messed up, you know.
Well, I think it's hilarious that the first people to jump on this are beer. I mean, every single drink in the world can use
every drink ever.
This is great. This is awesome.
Except for heat juice, which is gross.
Except for heat juice, which that should not be around anyway. Come on.
The article says, when activated, the all-natural dissecting contained within a vacuum draws the heat from the beverage through the evaporator into an insulated heat sink container. It is this patented vacuum power which allows the temperature so dramatically and quickly, leaving the beverage inside cold.
And it still holds like a normal 12 ounces or something?
Yeah, 16 ounces. And it's 100% safe, non-toxic, and environmentally benign. So, you know. But
I
will
like that attitude there.
But will cause cancer in four-year-olds. So, don't.
Well, they shouldn't be drinking beer anyways. Until you're five.
That's your opinion. Go back to Russia, Eric. All right, next story.
This article, you know, it boosts all our spirits, especially with this warm weather coming. Great article.
This is, all right, now, you got the next story.
Yes, and this ties right into drinking, you know? This is how we work here at Knowledge is Power. The SNL cast staged an intervention for Lindsay Lohan. And I first read this and I thought, oh, is that a skit they did, you know? But no, not at all. She was actually, you know, pulled aside by a lot of the people in the cast. I'm not sure if it was everyone. But Tina Fey, who put her in the movie that she wrote, Mean Girls, and they were pretty much telling her, yo, stop partying. You're really messed up. And I just think that's crazy if the cast of SNL is telling you you're partying too much.
Horatio Sands and Chris Farley pull you aside.
Chris Farley's ghost rises up. Because you're partying too much.
Now, I don't know how much, I don't know how big you are on celebrity gossip. I am a huge celebrity gossip fan.
Okay.
I'm not exaggerating. I mean, I probably have in my blog lines account, I probably have between 15 and 20 celebrity gossip websites.
Wow.
Yeah, I love it. I can't get enough of it. I'm not joking.
Well, there you go.
This to me is very funny because this is the second time the cast has done this. I don't know if
what?
You knew that. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh my God.
When she was on last year, almost exactly 1 year ago, which I have a funny story of, by the way, they did the same thing because this was back when she was really crazy and, you know, her dad went to jail and just when she started to take off, just before Herbie or whatever took off. Did that take off?
Was this when she was normal sized or was she skinny?
No, this is just after she became really skinny.
This was just like, wait, what happened to you?
Okay. Yeah, they stayed. They had an intervention because they thought she was drinking too much.
Because they said, who replaced you with a skeleton?
Yeah, what happened to the rest of you?
Who stole your innards?
Apparently you threw up the person you ate. And you know they kind of cautioned her against running with the wrong crowd, namely Nicole Richie, And she listened. She put her weight back on, or she didn't. You know, she became unskeleton. She looks pretty good now, I'd say. And she stopped running with Nicole Richie and stuff like that. And she was on again, and Lorne Michaels and Tina Fey and Kenan Thompson, they all kind of pulled her aside again and did the same thing.
Wow.
And okay, here's my funny story. Last year, when they had that, I was working at a restaurant because I was horrifically slightly employed, called Doc's, where they had the SNL after party, the official party, and they had the whole cast there, and they had Lindsay Lohan and Eve played with Gwen Stefani, and so they had.
Was this 1991?
No, I swear to God, this is. No, like Eve, or no, I guess Eve didn't play with her, but Eve and her are just good friends.
Yeah.
So they had everyone there, and Ashton Kutcher was there, Demi Moore were there, and they had this intervention, and she was just a raving bitch all night. She kept I saw her twice. Like I wasn't in the section that she was, her entourage was. But she was just going off like, who do they think they are? I'm just going to live this is my life. You know, I'm going to live it the way I want to live it.
I'm going to live it covered in cocaine and needles, and they can't tell me anything.
Apparently, the same voice that I use for my drunk transvestite is the same voice I use for my Lindsay Lohan impression.
Well, that makes sense.
I'm just going to live my life the way I want to. You can't tell me any differently. And
it's like Richard Nixon becoming a woman.
And from what I understand from all the readings that I've done on this, the research that I've done for this story is the same thing happened. You know, she's like, who are they to tell me what I should be doing with my life? I want to have fun.
I'm Lindsay freaking Lohan.
I'm a multi-millionaire 16-year-old.
I'm just surprised she even went back on. You know, like, I feel if I went to host SNL and they pulled me aside and they're like, look, did you guys stop partying? And I'd be
you're
like,
a drunk.
I'm not coming to your show again.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, you everyone. Know? Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for the jokes and then telling me I'm a druggie.
did you see her this the last week?
I have not watched Saturday Night Live in so long.
Did you see the Lazy Sunday rap?
Oh yeah.
You saw the Natalie Portman rap?
Yes, I did.
Did you see this week they had another good one? It was the Noxzema specially made for your coin slot.
Oh my God.
You know, the area that falls just above your pants.
The axe wound.
Yes. And it was pretty funny, and I,
wow! And she was in it.
She was in it. It was her and some other chick I didn't recognize because Saturday Night Live is only funny if you catch the highlights online.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah, like
Well.
You know, it's what is it, an hour and a half show, and then 3 minutes of material makes it online and creates buzz.
Yeah.
Poor SNL. All
right.
All right. Next story. This is the last story, isn't it? Wow.
This is it, man.
We flew through it. Okay, last story. Air Force One subject of internet host. Oh, God damn it. This fucking story.
First of all, just to inform the viewers, I don't know if many of our viewers? I'm sorry, listeners. I'm not sure if many of our listeners know about Delicious. I mean, that's where we post a lot of our stories, and I hope many check it out. I'm sure a lot probably just go to our Blogspot page. But I loved, because on Delicious you tag items for what category would you call it. Like the Saturday Live one I put under TV and Lindsay Lohan and stuff like that. For this article, Greg tagged it as, let me read it, douchebag Mark Echo as one word. Because at first I'm looking at all the tags, and I'm like, cartoons, celebrities. And I'm like, this one looks really weird. And at first I'm thinking it's like some weird German word, like Duschbagmarko. Like, hilarious.
I thought no one would totally notice it. 10 points. 10 points for catching that. Okay, here's the story. Here's the story. A startling internet video that shows someone spraying graffiti, that's someone being Mark Echo, on President Bush's Air Force One jet looks so authentic that Air Force One wasn't immediately certain whether the plane had been targeted or not. Turns out it was all a hoax. No one actually sprayed the slogan, "Still Free," on the cowling of Air Force One. What happened was, internet video was passed around early in the week, which I also tagged on our Delicious page, and with the description of, wow, for so long I hated Mark Echo, and I still hate him, but now I at least respect him. And it shows what, it, you know, it shows him and another guy.
It's like the Blair Witch Project.
It's, you know, real shaky, style. Real shaky video, like looking through chain link fences at Air Force One. You know, there's guards with dogs kind of patrolling around. And it's real shaky, and they're, you know, running and like kind of video. And it shows them spray painting "Still Free" on the engine of Air Force One. I guess it's called the cowling. And, you know, and then back over the fence, and, you know, they get away with it. Oh, God. And so you see it, and you're like, oh, that's fucking, like, a million.
Crazy.
That's fucking crazy. I can't believe they would actually do that. So that's awesome. You know, it's totally, you know, good for them, you know? And passed around. And then it comes out, oh, wait, it was just a fake. We fooled you.
The thing that I hated about this entire thing was Mark Echo's interview.
Yeah, the interview afterwards.
He has
almost probably a 10-minute interview afterwards where he just kind of talks.
And I don't know if I should say interview as much as like diatribe, because there's no questioning. It's just him talking.
Yeah.
But he uses argument logic that makes no sense to me. You know, because he's like, you know, you can serve this country if you're 18, but you can't buy a marker unless you're 21. I'm like, what?
What?
Okay, spray paint a plane.
Yeah, that makes sense. He pisses me. And okay, so it makes me so mad because this is obviously like a huge marketing campaign. You know, he spends all
He's
this
got
money.
A video game coming out.
He spends all this money to make a fake plane. He like rented a plane and actors and painted
the
a plane.
Thing about this.
Yeah, isn't
he
it?
He spent X amount of hundreds of thousands of dollars to make a plane look like Air Force One.
Right, and it would have been cool if, you know, if 15 years down the line, it was revealed, and it was like, and everyone was like, oh, I guess I kind of remember that video. Oh well, that sucked. But he does it 4 days later. He reveals it. Which is just stupid.
Well, I think the stupidest thing. I mean, well, that he revealed it. That's stupid. But
yeah.
What's also stupid is, I mean, he obviously knew. It's kind of like, you know, if you release a movie that has a twist ending, the downfall of it is after the opening weekend, no one needs to go see a movie because everyone's going to talk about it. With this thing, once Air Force One was like, once the president or whoever was like, none of our planes were tagged.
Yeah, no, you didn't.
Everyone's going to go, oh, he's a liar.
Yeah, a liar.
You know, like, they're not going to go, oh, you're awesome, man. You got him.
You showed us. You showed us.
All you did was you used your wealth to buy a plane. And then spray painted "Still Free" on your own plane.
Your own
that
rented.
You bought.
Fuck.
Like that makes no sense.
He's one of those people that. What I really dislike about him is he's one of those people that thinks he's really, you know, forward thinking and progressive, because he's always like, listen, I'm a white guy, you know, and I'm trying to do black culture, and I'm trying to spray paint and do hip hop and stuff like that. And he thinks he's being really progressive by like calling attention to like his race.
Yeah.
But it's totally the opposite. Is it just makes it seem, and it's just more ignorant.
Exactly.
He just drives me. All right. Officially, Mark Echo has been next. I'd cast him as my villain this week, but I've already done the story on him, so the end.
All right.
Okay. Breathe, Greg. That story just drives me so... It makes me so mad.
Yeah, definitely. And I want our listeners to tell us about it. Post some comments on our blog spot. I want to know what people think about this. If we're just being stupid, or if really he is a douchebag.
Okay.
So is that who your villain of the week, or do you actually have a different one?
I wanted to do him. I can't remember who my villain was going to be. I know I wrote it down someplace. Yeah, fuck it. He's my villain.
Yeah, do it, man. He's right. An idiot.
And I'll do another half hour rant right now. Ready? Okay. No, he's my villain. I mean, it's a dumb marketing campaign that's been totally ruined. It was a dumb marketing campaign to begin with, and now it's been ruined.
So my villain of the week is Adult Swim.
Really?
Yes.
And why?
Because they brought back Saved by the Bell.
What?
And yeah, on their... I just posted this on our Delicious, so you may not have time to have read it yet. But they've been putting reruns of Saved by the Bell on during an Adult Swim. First of my...
I read about this.
Is that it's not a cartoon. An Adult Swim is on the Cartoon Network. Well, the other thing is, because of this, now they're possibly going to redo Saved by the Bell with the entire original cast. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll give Adult Swim kudos for Family Guy. That show was funny and is current, that there's a reason it should have stayed on the air, and I'm glad they brought it back to life. Saved by the Bell, I'm sorry, but, that was in the 80s and was funny, kind of cool when we were young, but there is no way this should be in production, and I'm upset with Adult Swim for doing this, because I feel like they're jumping on this bandwagon of people that wear those retro shirts that they go buy for like $70. It's like, yeah, I'm all about, the old Cheerios ads. It's like, what? This is stupid.
So what are they going to call it? Is it going to be Saved by the Bell, the washed up years?
Saved by the Bell, the druggies.
Yep.
Screech is the new principal of Bayside, and the retired Mr. Belding is the proprietor of the Max.
The Max.
Screech is overwhelmed by the new principal.
Oh, the Max. Oh.
Oh, yeah. The Max.
Oh, everyone's favorite hangout.
Screech is overwhelmed by the new group of students and puts out a call for help, and soon all of the old regulars are back at Bayside.
Slater, is your decoder ring vibrating? Yeah, Zach, mine is too. Screech is in trouble.
Screech is in trouble.
quick to Bayside. Doo-loo-loo.
Jesse's stripping.
this is just a bad idea. It's...
Because I love Adult Swim. I think they're so hip and now, and they do a great job of, poking fun at stuff today and being right on that borderline. I mean, look at Boondocks and stuff like that. They're in Minority Team. They're right there where they're kind of like pushing people's buttons, but they do it enough where they do it stupidly enough that, they can get away with it. But Saved by the Bell, I don't know.
I think this is a bad idea and they're going to regret it. Okay. All right, Heroes of the Week, you have a hero?
Yes, NBC for getting rid of Celebrity Cook Chef Thing. I don't even know what the name of that show was. I'm so glad.
What's funny is that's my hero too.
Is it?
No.
Thank God. Because what's the guy's name from Growing Pains? Alan Thicke?
Alan Thicke.
Okay, first of all,
we were in a bar. My parents and I were in a bar on Friday night, and that show was on. And my mom, this is a quote from Judy Rutter, Cutie Judy Rutter.
That's a wrestling name, by the way.
Quote, is that fucking Alan Thicke? Is he still on TV?
Hilarious! Wow. Oh, the worst thing was, because I like Deal or No Deal. I fell into that show. I kind of like it.
In What's in the Box?
Yeah, it's What's in the Box from UHF. You know, it's great. But, you know, I like that. And when they did the tie-in with the end of Deal or No Deal to go to the cooking show, and Alan thinks, like, meal or no meal, I wanted to throw my TV outside and burn it because it was the worst thing I've ever heard. Oh, it was horrible.
NBC.
NBC was like, "Oh, oops." NBC, this show was horrible.
They love their cross promotion. I remember they had the Apprentice on Deal or No, or they had the Apprentice on What's in the Box too.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they had the celebrity cooking show.
The other thing that I wouldn't mind is if it was real fucking celebrities.
Not Alan
Not
Thicke.
Not someone that we once saw in an episode of Welcome Back, Kotter. You know, it's like, what?
Welcome back.
This is. Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah, this is good. Good for them for canceling that.
Yes, thank you, NBC.
It deserved to die.
Thank you, America, for hating it. I was scared that this was going to be like, you know, the celebrity dancing one.
Which was all Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars.
You remember when we talked about that for 2 hours and watched it? No, that was something of someone else. Oh. I'm just kidding. No one would watch that show except 80-year-old people who like ballroom dancing.
For some reason, it was like huge.
I don't get it.
I mean, it was in, I don't know about New York, but in Chicago, it was, every week's episode was in the paper. I was just like, this is stupid.
What? Really?
Yeah, dude.
That's ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
When this is in the newspaper.
Survivor should be in the news.
This is in the newspaper, okay? That's ridiculous.
Okay, buddy. who's your hero?
My hero is, and I think I just posted this within the last hour because I just heard about this, is Apple, because I like to switch up Apple and Google and Microsoft between the heroes and villains. For not only selling, like, their sales being up $1 billion last quarter, but the fact that half of all people who bought Macs in the last financial quarter were new to Macs. They'd never bought a Mac before.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. 50% of their sales were new customers?
Yeah. Totally opened up.
Do you think it's because of the addition of Windows?
I think that has something to do with it. I think the iPod marketing has finally paid off. I mean, their original intention with the iPod was to make it, you know, convince people to buy Macs.
I feel like one of the rats that followed the Pied Piper or children. What did he do? I can't remember what the Pied Piper did.
He ate children, Eric. That's what's funny.
He ate children. I feel like one of the eaten children. Usually look at all the pros and cons of products, but I jumped on the iPod like it was nothing. I don't even care if the creative is less and does more. I don't care if so. I don't care. The iPod, I got it. That's it.
And it, here's the thing. If you were going to buy a computer, what would you get?
Well, I guess because the computer I have right now is still pretty good, that I don't feel like I would need to replace it. I would get a Mac. I would get a small, like, lightweight laptop just to have something so I could, like, go online and still be in the living room, watch TV, you know, so forth and so on. Because I, one, think the look of Macs is awesome. I don't know what it is, but maybe it's because I'm used to staring at Windows forever at work and at home. But the outline of Mac and all that stuff, I think they look cool.
I mean, ever since we were at Michigan and the G5s, when the G5s first came out, and the only addition that we needed for them when we first saw them was that they needed, let's call it a D port, for you to hump, because they were.
It runs off humping. That's what they should do.
You needed a special port for your dick. Okay.
Yeah.
Those were so sexy, and that was 3 years ago, And these, you know, these Intel PowerBooks are just crazy. I'd buy, if I had the money, I'd buy a Mac in a heartbeat, no question.
Yeah, dude.
And on the Apple site, I think they offer the Windows pre-installed with Bootcamp for an extra like $200 or something.
Yeah, dude. And I mean, for what your profession is, you know, and what we do with like audio and podcasting and video and marketing, you know, Photoshop, all these things that work so awesome on Macs. You know, they're so easy, and they have this great interface between all their programs. Where, you know, with Windows, it's so confusing sometimes.
Yeah, it does. It's, you know, and there's so many like Windows programs. Like the Office suite is so poorly written. PowerPoint blows. I have to work with PowerPoint all the time for my job. I don't know about you. It's probably the worst program ever.
Not a lot of PowerPoints at male strip clubs, so no, I don't.
Okay, well, the male strip club industry is changing, so
get on board,
Eric. Woo woo! This porno train's moving on. All right,
you just woo wooed. That's amazing.
it's professional ethics. All right. Lastly is our newish feature called TWWWFW, Things We Wish We Were Friends With.
Just imagine a bracelet that said that.
Yeah. What would Jesus do instead of that? It says Things We Wish We Were Friends With.
Forever.
Now these are all sites that we really like and would someday like to sponsor our show. I feel.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and it can be everything. We'll be talking about websites. We'll be talking about comedians. We'll be talking about podcasts. You know, people in general. Now we hope they have a website. You know, but I mean, if we come across someone that only has a blog but we think they're hilarious, then you know they'll probably be on our TWWWFW.
This is and when we're offline, Eric and I call this our free product placement section. This is where we come and say, yes, like, let's do a ton of advertising for some random company.
Well, mine, go for it. Kind of is bending the hope to be friends line because it actually is a friend of mine. The website is ddtradio.com, and my friend Chuck back home in Michigan and a buddy of his that I kind of know as well named Rob, they have a radio show, and they mostly talk about wrestling. And as Greg pointed out, the first thing you see when you log into this website is the bloody head of a bald man with glasses.
Eric's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do DDT Radio, and I'm like, oh, let me check it out. Oh hey, dying man.
Hey, we just came across a snuff website.
Apparently, this is snufffilms.com. Actually, it's a forward. And so, so what is it? Is it all wrestling?
I mean, they do a lot of the WWE, NWA, WCW, the main things.
They don't do the World Wildlife Federation anymore.
What'd you say?
They don't do the World Wildlife Federation Fund.
No, the damn pandas.
they finally got taken off the ring.
Yeah, exactly.
Pussies.
Rob is an actual ref with, you know, Michigan League Wrestling.
Is that Rob on the main page?
That is Rob. Oh. Showing his referee skills of bleeding into his eye socket.
Apparently the bloody, bloody man is a friend of Eric's.
And they talk about wrestling. And, you know, it's really interesting. I am one of those people that, you know, was huge into wrestling as a kid. Then was like, time to stop watching that. And then I graduated from high school and started working with Chuck. And he was like, all about it. And I said, come on, man. You're like, you know, 18, 19 years old. You still watch wrestling? He's like, you got to come. So I went to a wrestling event. And it's so hilarious but fun at the same time that I became a huge fan and just started watching it. But then I went to college and I stopped watching it after that. I don't get into it as much, but it's fun to hear these guys talk about it. They're hilarious guys. And they do this great segment where they have five questions that they ask. And they get a lot of famous wrestlers on. I mean, not too famous like The Rock or anything like that, but they get some WWE people. And they ask them a lot of questions. And one of my favorite questions they ask the same five, is you're in an elevator with President Bush, Vince McMahon, and Michael Jackson, and you have a gun with two bullets. Who comes out alive? And I love to hear the responses that people give. I think it's a good show.
That's a good little Rorschach test.
Yeah.
I'm going to start springing that on you every week from now on.
Thank you.
Is it a podcast or is it a radio show?
No, see, it's not a podcast. It's only streaming right now. And it's Wednesdays 6 to 9, and that's Eastern. So
you have to actually tune in at the time?
Yeah. But, I mean, they do live calls and they do all that stuff. It's a really good show. I've checked it out many times, so I think others should check it out as well.
Cool. My TWWWFW is...
WFW.
Let's throw a couple of W's in there. Is actually one that sponsored Dig Nation. I don't know if you're a Dig Nation listener or not.
I'm a huge Dig Nation fan.
They sponsored it this week.
Whoa!
And heard about it, and I was like, this is awesome. I'm going to go. BarterBee.com. BarterBee.com. Like a Biebs.
And they have a very cute honeycomb, you know, feel to their website.
Look and feel. What's awesome about it is that it's kind of like an eBay type of site, but instead of like arranging to pay money, is you're awarded points when you join. So you sign up and you get 20 points, which is roughly the price of a DVD or a CD. And so you can go and scroll through and look for ones that you want. And when you find it, you spend your 20 points and you give those 20 points to, you know, whoever. And you pay $1 for, you know, for the barter bee transaction cost. And then when you sell a product, so you list the shit that you want to sell, and when you sell something, you get those points. And so you're only paying barter bee.
It's awesome.
The transaction cost.
The huge thing, which is, I mean, I'm going to join right now.
Yeah.
Is all CDs, DVDs, and games are only $1.
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane. That's
until,
so awesome.
Until you use up your points, and when you're out of points, you sell something, and then you get some points.
Well,
and
a point is $1. That's pretty much how it
works. Yeah, or you could, you know, it buy more points.
Or you end up earning points. Yeah, exactly. So you could end up paying nothing for something really, really awesome because you'll have gained enough points. You know?
And it's so cool because for so long I've been like, how come they haven't invented some this, like, you know, internet exchange type of currency yet?
Well, did you read about the guy that traded a stapler for a house?
Yes, the one red paperclip.
Yeah, man.
I've been following that guy for a long. He was on The Sound of Young America like a long time ago.
Really?
And I've been following him ever since. His website blows, but
yeah, his website's the worst website I've seen in a long time. But I started watching him when he first got like a moving van or something like that.
Yeah, I
and
got it.
From there on, I've been watching.
I tuned in when he got it. When he got a snowmobile.
And, oh yeah.
And now he has 1 year of free rent in Arizona, so he's very, very close to having a house.
I think that's awesome.
And he's trading. So what he did is he had a paperclip. He traded that for a pen, and then traded the pen for something else, and the pen for something else, and kind of keeps going up.
And it's all legit.
It's all legit. And he just kind of like, he says, like, who wants to trade me 1 year of free rent in Arizona and a plane ticket to Arizona for anything? And whatever he thinks is the best deal, he'll take. It's very cool.
Yeah, man. Well, that's it for this week. If you want to check out the stories that we've covered this week or any other news that we're checking out, go to knowledgeis.com. delicious.blogspot.com. And if you want to check out my stories, go to delicious, that's del.icio.us/knowledgeispower/Eric.
And if you want to check out any of my stories, go to delicious/knowledgeispower/Greg, and there's links on the Blogspot page also.
All right, well, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with more stories, more hopeful friends, and more heroes in the... See ya.
All right, bye.